This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I almost just had like a, not a panic attack. That's not what I almost said. Like a little freak out. Because I saw Jonathan Alexander tweeted something. So I went to his Twitter profile and I just saw exclusive players only meeting. I thought they had another one. I just didn't read the calendar. I just didn't read the date.
Oh, that was like a pinned tweet.
Yeah,
or something?
It's a pinned tweet.
Okay.
And I was like, are you serious? Like, did they seriously have another one of these things? No, but it's just a pinned tweet.
Okay.
But Joe Mixon's back at practice, which is good. So at least we'll still wait to see like what comes of him and his second hip drop tackle injury that he's faced this season. That's one of those things like with the NFL that like I don't care what they tell us about these things, like the Trevor Lawrence play, the hip drop tackle. Like, talk about safety. It happened twice on Saturday. Nothing got done about it.
Yeah.
Like they don't do anything about this stuff. Like,
no, it's just so they can fine them afterwards.
Yeah.
But, like, it doesn't – we see with the fines, like, every week guys get fined for doing very normal things. We talked about the Isaiah Pacheco fine where he basically played now 2 weeks ago for free. Because he lowered his head on one run, and so he got popped with a fine. And what we see is, like, I don't think these fines, like, actually stop guys from doing these things that they're fining them for that are very ticky-tack.
Yeah, yeah, it's...
Like, the headhunting is kind of gone, but that also gets flagged in the moment. You know, you get suspended for that. The more ticky-tack, like, we'll just fine you for this or that, in the middle of the week, I feel like we still get those plays.
Yeah, I totally agree. And they just get things, and they still just get things wrong all the time. I can't get over the Saints thing. I mean, we talked about yesterday, the Saints, like the fact that
the clock stopped.
They stopped the clock, and the Sean Hockley after the game was just like, yeah, it stopped.
It was a mistake.
It's like,
yeah, we know.
What do you mean? Like, yeah. But we were talking about like this, like what's going on with the NFL. I think the NBA stuff is interesting because, like, of all the sports, like, we're talking about, like, ratings are down across most sports. Like, they keep going up for the NFL, but they're obviously down for baseball. They're now regionally, they're still up. But you look at the World Series, and the World Series did not even beat the ratings for 2017. Shorter series hurts that. It's still, like, 9 million viewers less than 2016. So, like, but like, most local, like, good markets, like, the ratings are holding steady. I don't know when the NFL bubble bursts. Like, and I'm not really sure it does, like, in our lifetime. Like, I think we'll see it dip again at some point. But, like, look what happened around the concussions and Colin Kaepernick, and it dropped, and it all skyrocketed. Yeah. The NBA hasn't recovered from the bubble and everything that happened in the world and the what they put on the court and what the T-shirts that they wore. People didn't go back. And now that they want, and they try to go back, and the product's not good. Like, I think the NFL is due for a awakening of some kind. Like, I do think at some point we will see the NFL make decisions that Major League Baseball has made of, like, speeding the game up a little bit. Like, it's too long.
That's what I do wonder, because we talk about, like, the next generation, and a lot of times it's like they don't watch. You know, like, the biggest thing is, like, they don't actually watch NBA games.
Yeah, they watch highlights.
They watch the highlights on TikTok or on Instagram, and that's how they consume that sport. And I think that's a big reason why their numbers are falling off so much, is because they were always they had a younger fan base out of all the leagues, and their new younger fan base that's coming up into consuming and spending money on their product. Well, they're not going to spend money on your product because they can just watch it for free on TikTok.
Yeah.
They can watch whatever they, you know, the only part of the game they want for free. I wonder, is that like a trickle down, or will there be a, you know, I guess trickle up effect to the NFL, where when that fan base starts to get to that age, NFL watching age, like, is there the attention span of these people that, like, if a basketball game isn't fast-paced enough for you, will a 40-second play clock be too slow for you? Like, a 6-second play and then 30 seconds of no action and then another 6-second play?
I think that's what baseball and basketball are, like, desperately banking on, is that these younger viewers that they're trying to create things for. And like the NFL is doing it. They're doing the Nickelodeon broadcast. I didn't realize that the Texans, there's a special broadcast. There's a Madden cast.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I saw that advertised.
I don't really understand it. Like, are they Madden players? Like, did they just like put in like Kurt Benker or whatever, the backup quarterback forever, like who used to play for the Packers? Like, the plays will be on there. It's like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand how it's going
to
work.
Yeah, but like, will that stuff translate to viewers? I don't know. I don't think the NFL needs to do that stuff. I think they're just doing it as like a just in case.
Yeah, and maybe it is like this is the trial balloon for something else. Because for parts of, what game was it? Oh, no, it's the Amazon game. Mm-hmm. It's the Amazon, one of the alternate broadcasts. Is, I want to say, like, Skycam or something like that.
Yeah.
Where it's basically the, like, Madden camera angle that you, like, when you play Madden and you can see all the receivers.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
It's that angle. And every once in a while you see people watch it for the first time and they'll tweet out, like, wait, why do we not just watch every game where we can see the receivers? Well, why is the standard broadcast you only see the quarterback and offensive line and then they throw the ball and then you have to trek with the ball to the receiver, where for most people, if that was the efficient way to watch the game,
yeah,
Madden wouldn't have it like that.
100%. And then it's funny, as we're talking about this, I see this from Awful Announcing. Jason McIntyre today apparently said, quote, this take probably won't be very popular, but I would argue that Inside the NBA, the show that everybody loves, has done more damage to the NBA in the last decade than anything.
I disagree with the hyperbole, but I understand what he's saying. I mean, we saw the example, last week, mm-hmm. when the Rockets beat the Warriors and Ernie Johnson sets up Charles Barkley for an easy, impressed by the Rockets, build up this young team for playing on their first national broadcast in like a year and a half. Or no, on TNT for the first time in like 4 years.
Yeah.
First time they played on a national broadcast in about a year. And he goes, they don't know how to play basketball. And it's like, you're talking about the 3 seed in the West who just won a game.
I think I agree with Jason. Like, I love the show. Like, it's very funny. It's very good.
All they
do
is crap on the product.
Yeah. Like, if everyone's, like, just telling you constantly, like, how bad everything is. Because, they turn fans off because, like, Charles goes through this whole broadcast. And it's very clear he has not watched the Rockets play any basketball games. And he's taking everything that happened in the game that night and talking about it in these large generalities of that's how the Rockets have been playing all season. And it's like, no, dude. Like, this is a bad game. That's not how any of this season has gone. It's like, I don't think Jason McIntyre, like, is wrong at all. Like, and I'm not a huge fan. Like,
yeah, I mean, just think
he's
about...
He's right. It's they damage the product because all they do is tell you how awful it is.
Think about the NFL, whatever the NFL version of Inside the NBA is to you, whether that's one of the countdown shows on ESPN, one of the pre and post game shows on the other networks. Do they have they're all selling the league. They're all selling the league in a positive manner. What we like about Inside the NBA is that they're honest, they're free to say what they want, but it is at the end of the day a bunch of players that played 25, 30 years ago just doing the back of my day stuff.
Yeah.
Where the other broadcasts, like, they don't do that. Michael Strahan builds up the current day product. Like, they all are playing a part in building up. You know, no one sits on TV and goes, the Houston Texans suck. I know that they won the AFC South.
No, they just don't talk about them.
You will that too. But they don't go like, this team stinks.
Yeah.
This team doesn't know how to play football.
Yeah, that only works in local radio. It doesn't work nationally. All right, when we get back, our Astros countdown. We have 57 days until the Astros report to spring training. Before we do that, I want to talk about O Athletic. OAthletic.com, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights. They offer over 100 classes per week, variety going from, you know, weightlifting classes, agility training, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, whatever kind of class you want to take, you can do. They start up early in the morning. They pick back up around 4:30, so you can make it work around your schedule. They have all the recovery stuff that you need. Do not wait until 2025 to start working on your goals. Get in the gym now before the January rush and sign up at O Athletic.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
Hit on the latest on Alex Bregman earlier in the show. Not really any updates, just the opinions of both Chandler Rome and Brian McTaggart, both on the MLB Network yesterday, saying that they don't think that Alex Bregman will be back to the Houston Astros. We did find out today that Kyle Tucker was preparing for a Mousetraw's wedding when he found out he was traded.
Okay.
He was doing groomsman duties.
What does that entail? Do they go in detail for that, or is it just...
Let me see. I didn't read the whole article yet.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I didn't mean to put you on the spot of, like, groomsman duties.
Yeah.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Now, maybe it would be funny if he was at the wedding.
Yeah, was he...
Like, the wedding was, like, going on. It was Friday.
He was standing
maybe
up
the
there?
Wedding was that weekend.
It definitely was that weekend.
Yeah. So, like, he was probably, like...
It happened Friday at, like, 1:30.
So, if it's Friday, so you're getting ready for just the rehearsal dinner.
Most likely. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Or the wedding could be that night. So many people do Friday night weddings.
Yeah. Mousetraw, save a little bit of money. An MLB player saving a little bit of money. And one of his groomsmen is going to make like $400 million in 2 years. But yeah, maybe he's trying to save a little money.
Yeah. You know what? Like, hey, Friday nights are fine. But our wedding was on a Saturday. God, it was so stressful planning that thing. Don't recommend.
Don't recommend planning, or don't recommend the whole...
The planning.
Okay.
If you can pass it off to someone, let it. Like, if you don't have to do any work,
yeah,
just, like, let it go. This is one of the funniest headlines. We'll get to an Astros thing here in a second. We talked a lot earlier in the season about the arm injuries that were happening. I'm looking forward to reading this piece later, but Jeff Passan just put a... story up about arm injuries.
Okay.
And this is the tweet. This is how it reads. I've spent more than 12 years searching for answers to keep arms healthy. MLB's report on the matter broke little to new ground, but it was necessary for first step to address an issue that's been ignored for far too long. And then the whole gist of the article is they try to throw too hard, basically. Like
that was his tweet being like,
no, I added that very last part. But like the quick skim through it during the last break is pretty much like, they try to throw too hard.
Yeah, you just chase velocity.
That's what Major League Baseball is saying about their pitchers. Duh. Like, also, development, like, you got to go backwards still. Like, you know, guys throwing 120 pitches in college baseball and in high school. Like, some of the issues start back there.
Well, and when you're, you know, 14 years old, trying to, you know, either make your varsity team, or if you're 16, trying to get looked at by colleges, I mean, they're going to look for velocity.
Yeah.
And so, like, from such a young age, you're chasing velocity. And that is not good for arms. It looks like a 12-year study has found out that having kids throw as hard as they possibly can, like you said, 100 times a week, not good.
All right. So yesterday, you sent this message, this tweet to us.
Yes.
In our group chat on X from the crawfish boxes. And the tweet says this. As we, the Astros, pay Abreu, Montero, Dealing Tucker, and maybe more, I can't help but miss Luno's efficiency. His current soccer team is promoted to La Liga this year and just beat Barcelona with 1/15th the payroll. I just found it interesting because as everything's going on, it's not the first time I've heard Jeff Luno's name come up during this. I was listening to one of the other radio stations and he was brought up. I think someone here brought him up too about just like Jeff Luno and how this team was built and the idea of it and what it's gone to. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's a wild take to think that like things are just so much different with Jeff Luno.
Really?
Like, this tweet points it out. They just beat Barcelona, his soccer team, with 1/15th the payroll. So what indication does that give you that Jeff Luno would have paid George Springer, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, or Kyle Tucker? Like, he was fired before any of those guys left. He could have paid all of them. He could have paid Springer and Correa early. And what did he do? He willingly kept George Springer in the minor leagues to manipulate his service time so he could have him for longer.
That did help.
It
did
help
the Astros.
Yes, but it's also why George left without ever getting a real contract off.
Yes. No, I mean, it is not breaking news that Jeff Luno, or like revisionist history, that some of Jeff Luno's business practices ruffled feathers, not just with players, but also just the actual human beings that worked in the front office.
Yeah.
That he was looking to maximize every little edge that he had in all things at all times, which at some point just turns into trying to screw people over at all times. And that's really what Jeff Luhnow was all about. I don't want to say he brought it to baseball, but he definitely brought the like ruthless efficiency.
For sure. And that's why I still think baseball. He's like not in the league is because of that.
Yes.
But, like, I just think like this idea that like Jeff would be here and so these guys would stay. Honestly, I think they would have traded them all earlier.
But I will say, I think it's less about these guys would all stay. It would be more about the options wouldn't be Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick, Mauricio Dubon, and maybe some other cheap guy in left field. Mm-hmm. Like, the answers wouldn't be John. Well, maybe it would be John Singleton, because guess who liked John Singleton back in the day?
Yeah, because like,
the cheap options would be better. The cheap options would be he would find diamonds in the rough.
I don't know, man. Jeff Luhnow was fired in January 2020 because like King of Twitch is saying the same thing. Luhnow at least knows how to scout. Let's look back over my list. Go here. Daz Cameron was traded for Justin Verlander. He has not done anything. Forrest Whitley has pitched like 5 innings for the Astros. That's the first round pick in 2016. JB Bukakis, I don't even know if he's in baseball anymore. First round pick in 2017. Seth Beer traded for Zach Greinke. He's accomplished nothing. Corey Lee, he's accomplished nothing. Like, Jeff Luhnow hasn't had a good draft pick since Kyle Tucker. Like of an early draft pick.
But he traded those guys while you could trade those guys for aces.
And I know those are all way late draft picks. Like, I get that. But like, just the idea that like he was going to have the success he had early on in the early rounds, then have that same success in the later rounds. Well, he hasn't had those. Those players haven't had that success. Like, I also would love to see like what the Astros would have looked like with Jeff Luhnow running it, but like I don't think people would have liked it as much. Like I don't think Springer ever walks. I don't think Correa ever walks. I think those guys are all traded.
Really?
Yeah. I think Jeff Luhnow takes the analytical, ruthless approach of I'm going to reload my farm system a year before George Springer walks.
I do wonder about that because they're still competing at the top of the league. And so it's harder to take that, like, we're going to take a strategic step back when you're still winning 105 games every year like you were in the Luhnow era. So I do wonder about that, where it is easier to try to, you know, reconfigure some things when you're coming off back-to-back 90-win season or 90 and then 88-win seasons. Yeah. It's easier to go, hey, let's turn this one player into two good ones and a prospect, and let's try to move some things around under the constraints we have. It's also, you know, they probably don't sign Abreu. They probably don't sign Montero, and that's almost $40 million that is not on your payroll if Jeff Luhnow's around. So that is more money you can spend on guys who will actually play for your team and probably be at least pretty good. For your team.
And like, King of Twitch, like, good counterpoint here. Like, he brings up, like, what Jeff Luhnow's scouting department did in the, like, Latin American.
Yeah, that too.
Like, but, like, Oz Campbell just got fired, I believe, by the Marlins. If I'm not, I believe he did.
Yeah, he was
like,
the GM.
So, like, they could go get him. Like, I'm pretty sure he just got fired.
I think you're right.
I don't believe he is employed. I mean, maybe they didn't fire him, but, like. Yeah, Marlins firing respected former Astros scouts. So, like, look, like, you could get those guys back. Like, you can, but also, like, I just can't believe, like, things would go that, like, what's gone wrong without Jeff Luhnow until right now?
Well, it's
you won another World Series.
No, it's the offseason where Jeff Bagwell was making the decisions instead of Jeff Luhnow. Okay,
but that, like, people point to that.
That's the issue.
You're right. People point to that. But, like, I don't think, but just because, like, you're paying Abreu Montero, also, I don't think, like, it's connected to not paying Alex Bregman. Like, they're just not paying Alex Bregman. Like, but, they but not then, get, this is the biggest contract you they've
would
ever
be
offered.
Able, but you'd be able to pay Christian Walker. You'd be able to pay
you're right.
a replacement for him if you weren't spending $40 million on a 40-year-old first baseman.
You still could. You're choosing not to.
Yes, but you wouldn't have to make that choice if you didn't have that money on the roster.
All those contracts also come off the books after this year. Besides the Lance McCullers.
So you're just wasting 2 years.
Yeah. No, so you could pay him now and like you have one bad year of cap hell or money hell, but like focus on your, you know, stop focusing on building your bars and stuff that are never getting built. I'm just not convinced that like things are that different if Luno's here. Like, I like the idea of it.
I think Jeff Bagwell or Jeff Luno is a better lead baseball decision maker than Jeff Bagwell and Dana Brown.
100%.
So things would be better.
Yeah. 100% they'd be better.
Things would be better with Jeff Luno. That is what I'm saying, is that Jeff Luno, I do wonder this, to make the opposite point. Because I was going to say, because Jeff Luno greatly affected how front offices run in baseball. And you see it, you saw it with Oz Ocampos, you see it with Mike Elias in Baltimore, mm-hmm. that not literally all his disciples spread out among the league, but other people look at what Luno was doing and then apply it to their teams.
100%.
So there is some advantage you lose from being the only team that operates the way that Jeff Luno operated. So if you're the only team employing this strategy, you are getting a better advantage than if, you know, just pull it, 10 teams are doing it, or 15 teams are all doing it, because now you're under more competition for the same type of players, you're looking at the same numbers, so you're not gaining that advantage of having 5 extra teams that are run by bozos. Now mm-hmm. they're run by guys that you used to employ. So I do think that there is some, I guess, diminishing returns.
Yeah, we're like, it's just like that there would have been. Out.
Or actually, it's kind of like what we were talking about with DJ and the Shanahan offense, where at some point the league figured out the Shanahan offense.
Yeah.
And it's not like a strategy that you can figure out and neutralize other teams to, but more teams can use that strategy, so the benefits get diminished.
Yeah, look, and like Jeff, what he did accomplish, like set up the Astros to put them on something that like no one else has been able to. Baltimore is trying, but they can't win a playoff series. Like, we see teams tank out all the time, and it does not result in what the Astros did.
Every other team has like a 3 or 4 year window besides the Astros and the Dodgers and Yankees.
And kind of the Braves a little bit too.
Braves too.
Because like they're still like right in it right now. It's just the idea, that like people are correlating Tucker and Bregman to Jeff Luna. I'm just like, that's too far.
No, I'm correlating it more with
overall.
Yes, McCormick, Dubon, Singleton. That's where I'm saying it would be different with Luno, is that the decisions around the margins would be better, mm-hmm. and so you'd have a more well-rounded team, as opposed to now where you look at the first 4 hitters in your lineup and you think, this looks like Houston Astros baseball I'm used to. You look at the last 5 hitters of the lineup and you're like, oh my God, is this the Pirates?
Is this the A's?
Well,
no, you know what? Honestly,
the A's don't have a Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, they were sneaky good.
They were sneaky good last year. They beat the Astros a lot last year.
Dude, I think I really like what they're doing this offseason. I like the trades.
So
that
you like
made.
Okay. You like what they're doing. I like what they're doing, so they won't be in last place.
I think,
or I like what they're doing, and they could be a playoff team.
The way they played in the second half of the season, I think that they're gonna. At worst, finish 3rd in the division. Like I think they're going to make a push.
Okay, so one of Astros, Mariners, Rangers is going to finish below the A's.
I think they'll make a push for the two spot in the division.
Wow,
they played really great. Like you look at their numbers, like analytically, and like what they did in the second half of the season, now what they're doing now, like they're spending money. They play in a Mickey Mouse ballpark now. I'm imagining.
I need to know the dimensions of the triple A ballpark or double A ballpark that they're playing in. But I think I agree with you to a lesser degree, where I agree with you that they won't be the worst team in the division.
Because that's the Angels.
Yes, I think they'll be better than the Angels.
Yeah.
I'm not quite ready to say that they'll be better than one of Rangers, Mariners, Astros.
Yeah. Well, we got to see what the Mariners are going to do. It feels like they still got a big move coming as well. Still a lot of rumors going on about Luis Castillo. And him potentially getting moved. So when we get back, we'll get, in case you missed it, before a little bit of garbage time here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Come on, George, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In case you missed it, what's going on in the world of sports? Well, Conor McGregor, we'll be waiting for him to return to the UFC Octagon. It'll never happen, actually. I'd like to put that out there. But he has agreed to fight Logan Paul in India.
Okay. I get that this is different than Jake Paul fighting Mike Tyson. But, like, how often are we going to do this with the Paul brothers? Like, are they going to fight?
Until he loses.
Are they going to fight, like, once a year for the next 5 years? And we keep watching, keep getting disappointed by it, and then we'll just tune in next year?
I think I'm not going to watch this one.
I also think I'm just, like, I'm out.
We're at La Berge again, and it's on.
Yeah. Like, I just, at a certain point, like, we as Americans... As American consumers,
yes,
need to just like put our foot down. Be like, enough with, like, you can't just keep. It's like going to a carnival, and just every time you know you're going to get screwed over, and it's not going to be real entertainment, real boxing. It is just you're going for the freak show.
But see, I think now, like, it's not entertaining.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah,
now we're just getting screwed over every time. Like, if we're actually buying these fights, which, don't do that. Illegally stream them. I feel no problem saying illegally stream Jake Paul fights and Logan Paul fights. But just how often are we just going to keep wanting, like, washed up fighter versus one of the Paul brothers in a fight where it looks like the washed up fighter isn't allowed to actually try to knock him out?
I almost just pulled a Paul, just chucked my phone across the room. The New York Jets have interviewed John Robinson and Thomas Dimitroff for their general manager position.
Okay.
Things that are going on in the NBA. The NBA Cup Championship game is tonight. Who are you taking?
Give me the Thunder. I think the defensive pressure that they can play with. I mean, we saw it against the Rockets. I mean, you're going up against Giannis and Dame Lillard instead of Shingun and Fred VanVleet. So the Bucks probably have a little bit more answers for it, but I think just the level of intensity that Lu Dort and Cason Wallace and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Alex Caruso, all these guys that we saw play against the Rockets, I think that they can really make it hard for the Bucks just really to bring the ball up the court. If one of Giannis or Dame isn't on the court, that you really have to ride either Dame in the Dame-only minutes or Giannis in the Giannis-only minutes. So yeah. I think they can do enough. Also, I'm not sure who on the Bucks can guard SGA. So it feels like the Thunder. Obviously, it's a single-elimination game between two good NBA teams. So either team can win, but if I have to make a pick, I'd pick OKC.
Yeah, I'm taking OKC. Let's see. Just as we were talking about the NBA and like their ratings, and I was like, "What's going on in the NBA?"
Oh, I saw that the WWE Saturday Night thing outrated the NBA Cup semifinals.
Of course it did, because the WWE is hot right now. Like they're on their way like back.
See,
up,
this
up.
Is what we're talking about. All these leagues. I know this is different because it's WWE, but like they come, they have rises and falls, and. Except for the NFL. The NFL just only goes up. And, you know, common sense would tell you that at some point it would be their turn to have a decrease. But they're the only ones that are immune to having a decrease. Even WWE can be down for like a decade and then come back. And like you said, they're hotter than they ever. Not hotter than they've ever been. But hotter than they've ever been in a while.
I feel like this is the hottest they've been since the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Since Stone Cold left.
And what's that, like early 2000s that ended?
Yeah, like in terms of like ratings, t-shirt sales, selling out, like they're hotter than they've ever been. And like I even heard like Jeff Passan make an argument that he thinks baseball is about to be on the upswing because, well, finally, like Juan Soto's in New York, Aaron Judge's in New York, Otani's in L.A., Kyle Tucker, yes, I think it's going to matter. He's going to be a ratings mover in Chicago. Like the best
the
players,
that he's there, yeah.
Like the best players are in the best cities. Like
So
and then you still have Atlanta and Houston, which are smallerish markets.
Yeah, but they're
and the Rangers
like, and they're teams that are always in the playoffs. Like yeah. At a certain point, even though the Astros aren't on the same level as those other teams that you mentioned, as far as the national interest, national fan base, they are national brands at this point because they played in 7 straight ALCSs until this year. So I agree with Passan that it should be on an upswing. But relative to where it was, like, I don't think they're going to get back to home run chase of 1998 levels.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I think that it's on an upswing relative to where they started in the 2010s. I don't think that it's going to go back to, like, number two in America, one in America.
No, but I think that, like, the upswing might, like, lead them to, like, their next TV contract, which is going to be good for them.
Yes.
Or, like, the NBA, like...
Great timing.
Yeah, the NBA, like... I know they just signed their TV contract, but like they better watch out for those opt-outs because I'm sure they exist. Other things going on, just because I love the NBA sometimes. Part of the reason, one of the things I think that they struggle with like their brand, is like one of the top 5 stories on ESPN.com is Bronny to play in G League Showcase. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, this is like, it's a headline. Like, G-League of all the stuff? Things going on. You can't give me like rumors and their new All-Star Game format.
Yes.
Which is what, there's 4 teams?
So there'll be 3 all-star teams and one, the winner of the like Rising Stars
That's
game.
Right. Yeah.
They'll play in like a mini tournament to, I don't even know like the scoring, like, is it to 21? Are they just playing to 21? Are they playing 5-minute quarters? I don't know. But yeah, they're basically breaking up all-star teams into threes and then having the winner, play a tournament with the winner of the Rising Stars.
Yeah, game. The winner, the prize pool of the All-Star game will be $1.8 million. Each player on the All-Star champion team gets $125,000. Each player on the runner-up team gets $50,000. The players on the teams eliminated in the semifinals will each get $25,000.
So is it going to be 3 teams of 8, I'm assuming?
Yeah, looks like it.
That's
yeah.
24?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Sure. Like, you know, like... It is
like they're trying so. See, that's the thing is like their product is broken and like they're worried about the All-Star game. Like, it's crazy to me.
But the thing is, the All-Star game, the reason they can't just like take it away is that the All-Star game still rates super highly. It's just it rates super highly. Everyone goes, this sucked. And then they watch it the next year. So it is something where they can't just like scrap it. It's a lot like some bowl games where like some bowl games can't go away because ESPN just needs something to air on December 30th. In the middle of a day while everyone's on vacation.
Yeah.
So, like, the Tax Slayer Bowl or whatever actually rates higher than if they showed NFL Live. So, there are some bowl games that are necessary. Now, obviously, we do not need 40 of these things. But
no, I thought they were going to cut down right away.
I think it'll be a trickle down, like you said, from the Marshall thing. Marshall, yeah. They have 25 dudes in the portal, so they're like, we can't field the team.
How many of those guys, like, go into the portal and go back to Marshall, you think?
I think
10,
a good
15?
Amount. Because it was a situation where they kind of ran off their coach. And it's funny, Marshall won the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
And they ran off their coach anyway. And I think the coach was very popular with the players. So a lot of them, it's like in solidarity. And at the end of the day, these are guys from Marshall. So I don't know if they're transferring.
Yeah,
portal market.
Where are you transferring to?
I don't think it's going to be jumping exactly. So... There could be a situation. If I was the current coach at Marshall, whoever they hired, I'd be like, guys, you are welcome back because I need to fill a roster and we will probably have to fill them with guys worse than you are.
I think that's everything. I think that's everything we missed. Like we have
we
no-
did. So we did do, in case Joe missed it on Monday, because
yes.
You missed half of,
I
right?
missed Tucker. Yeah, I missed Wednesday through Friday.
Wednesday through Friday last week. Do you think that tomorrow... Would we be running the bit into the ground if we do, in case Paul missed it? Where Paul can talk about the topics we talked about the first 2 days of this week?
Probably. Because, honestly, besides talking about this same Texans game that we've watched, like, 10 times this year, I don't think Paul missed anything. What else did he miss? Bregman hasn't really changed.
Let me look at the rundown. What did we talk about?
The Heisman?
Yeah, Heisman.
I bet you he has takes on Travis Hunter's girlfriend.
There we go. There we go. And we've barely talked about her. So
it's true.
That's something. That's something we can do. Yeah, I guess all the baseball and football stuff is the same.
Oh yeah, Paul, all the baseball stuff.
So, well, I meant Astros. I meant specifically Astros. Yeah. But maybe some NFL weekend observations. I don't know. I'm sure Paul has something that he wishes that he could tell someone other than his cat?
If he can even talk.
If he can even talk. This is doing a lot of assumptions that he will be in tomorrow.
Yeah, we don't know that yet. He just he's hoping to be back tomorrow. We hope he's back tomorrow. I don't know if he'll be in studio, but I think he'll be back. All right, when we get back, ourselves. Garbage time. We got a little Twitter beef going on. And a fantasy football question we're going to address in the next segment. Here on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, garbage time here. I'm Glenn George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe and Sean here with you. Anthony behind the glass doing a great job today. We will wait for the word of return from Paul Gallant about tomorrow. So we have two things we're going to discuss here in garbage time today. One of them, a Twitter beef. Mm. One of them, a fantasy football question, an ethical question. We were going to do sports court earlier. We just kept talking about other things. This was tweeted out by ML Football. Two players in a league benched all their players to force a tie to eliminate someone from the playoffs. He has tried to explain that this is cheating and collusion, but they think they are being smart. I need help. What do you think? This is posted in a Reddit thread. So they benched both their rosters. They forced the tie to eliminate someone from the playoffs. This is... I don't think there's a question about this. A, your commissioner sucks.
Yes.
Should not allow this.
This should have been stopped long before it gets taken to the social media streets.
Yes. This is... Honestly, if you're friends with these people, I think you need new friends. Like, all right, don't be mad at me. I can't see him right now. He's got the blinds closed. I'm in a fantasy football league with Brian McDonald. He's our commissioner. This is not Brian's fault. This is not. But Josh Beard was trying to compete for the playoffs. And there was two guys who were conveniently trading players to each other back and forth the 2 weeks before our trade deadline.
Oof.
To help keep Josh out of the playoffs. I said collusion.
That's way worse.
I was told no collusion. I said collusion. This is worse.
Yeah.
This benching your whole roster to keep someone out of the playoffs, that's collusion. That cannot last. The trade thing, I was told it's not collusion. I disagree.
I'm on your side.
Thank you.
That sounds like collusion.
It sounds like collusion
it's
to me.
It's like the textbook definition of collusion. But, yeah, this is – it's so Bush League.
This is crazy to bench your entire – first of all, A, it is cheating.
We have VMAC taking the mic.
What you're saying is not even remotely true.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Look, if I understand the trades went back and forth, but the player you're saying was trying to help Josh's opponent also had to win to get in. So it didn't help him to trade away his good players.
Still collusion.
No rebuttal. No rebuttal from BMAC. Therefore, Joe wins the argument. That's what I know about arguments. If you say the last thing, that means you win.
Yep, that means we win. Not because it's, you know, he has other work to do.
Yeah, no.
But this one is, you can't let it stand, but apparently they let it stand.
Yeah, it's crazy. Also, a lot of trust among these two people that we think are in the wrong for, I mean, all you have to do is at the last second, you know, right before the games, like, actually, I'm going to have Jameson Williams. I'm just gonna put in one running back.
It's a lot of trust.
Javonte Williams, you're now starting. Okay, now I win.
Yeah, it is so much trust.
Because it's no honor among thieves. If you are willing to take a part in calling it a conspiracy, might be a bit much, but it is technically a conspiracy to conspire against one member of your league. I would not trust the person I am in the conspiracy with to then not screw me over.
Yeah, the only thing that's not clear, though, is that, like, if, like, one of them lost...
Would they be out?
They'd be out.
It
kind of feels like...
I would assume that's the situation. It's like the Chargers-Raiders game from a couple years ago. That's what I assume the situation is if one of us loses, we are out. If we tie, we are both in. Let us handshake agreement to tie.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
How do you feel about people who... They have won, like, they're winning by, like, a point.
Oh, and then they sit,
and
then like...
And they bench their running back. So just in case he fumbles on the first play and gets hurt.
I get it. I get it. Too.
I don't like it either.
But I'm more like, yeah, I guess I'm just against it. Like, as an American,
yeah.
I'm against that. That seems anti-competitive to me.
Yeah, soft.
Yeah, I think you run through the tape. Also, I need to help my points for stat. I need to, if that ever comes up in a tiebreaker, I need to score as many points as possible. I can't be punting on what if Bijan Robinson scores whatever 18 points on Monday Night Football in fantasy.
Yeah,
I need to win by 19, not just by one. So yeah, I never employ that strategy. I do see it from time to time. The only time I would kind of buy it is if it's a defense. Because defenses can go negative pretty easily.
Oh, yeah, I'm partially, one of my leagues I think I missed the playoffs for was because I had a negative point differential.
On a Monday night defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one where if it's your defense, okay.
Well, that's why defense shouldn't be in fantasy football.
I would agree with that, too.
In my league with BMAC, we have no kickers, no defense, and it's so much
just
better.
Just pure ball.
Yeah, just real ball.
And collusion.
Yeah.
From what I hear. From what I hear, it's collusion.
Oh, what else happened in garbage time? You found this story. This is incredible.
Yes. A man who...
We discussed yesterday on the show.
I was going to say, gets mentioned on the show a lot, considering he coaches a team that is in the Horizon League. Doug Gottlieb got into a Twitter beef with Adam Schefter of ESPN yesterday. Actually, about 23 hours ago. Adam Schefter reported that Sacramento State is in discussions to hire former Pro Bowl quarterback Mike Vick as their new head coach. Sacramento State plans to move up to FBS, is building a new stadium, has over $50 million in NIL. Sacramento State would build an experienced coaching staff around Vick. Whatever. Doug Gottlieb quote tweeted this, said, "Jesus, Shefty, edit what agents tell you. 0.0% chance that Sacramento State has $50 million in NIL. And I would agree with him there that there is some funny accounting here. Adam Schefter took to Twitter to clap back in the replies. This Sac-12 leading, I don't even know what that means. Does he mean Pac-12 or is he calling Sacramento Sac-12? I don't know. The Sac-12 leading the school's NIL efforts already announced it has reached its initial goal of raising $50 million in NIL funds to strengthen the school's case to be invited to the Pac-12 or the Mountain West Conference.
Oh, so this entire like conference is trying to like move up almost in a way it sounds.
Okay, that makes sense. And then Adam Schefter, and we'll get back to the $50 million total later. Then Adam Schefter replied to himself, went double barrel, went back to back on him, and said, "And Jesus, Doug, a 7-game losing streak and last place in the Horizon League, less time on social media and more time in the gym." And he quoted, or he attached a picture of the Horizon League standings where Doug Gottlieb's Green Bay, I don't know what their team name is in last place, 0-3 in conference, 2-10 overall in the season.
I didn't know Shefty had that in his bag. He must not like Gottlieb.
That is a flagrant.
I mean, that is flagrant. Aggressive.
Yes. To send the picture, too, is
yeah.
To really hammer it home is, yeah, that's aggressive.
His tweet, Doug Gottlieb's tweet has 1.8 million views on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The Schefter reply is 478,000. And then the dunk at the very end has 4.3 million people have viewed that tweet.
So that tells you what's been retweeted a lot.
Yeah.
Is what that tells me. So the $50 million thing, Stuart Mandel, college football reporter, did like touch on this. It is $50 million in commitments of NIL payments over 10 years.
Gotcha.
So they're not going to spend twice as much as Ohio State and Texas spend on their rosters in NIL at Sacramento State.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
So Doug Gottlieb does have a little bit of a point where Adam Schefter very clearly worded that to make it seem like
they have $50 million to use right now.
Yes, which like, they don't. And the same thing we've talked about with the Bill Belichick thing.
But didn't he say, like, was it $20 million over the contract or was it $20 million this year?
For
North Carolina.
I think it's including possible changes in legislation that would allow them to share revenue with
gotcha.
Them. So you see like Mike Norvell is mm-hmm. paying back some of his contract to put it to the roster.
Yeah.
I think it's something like that.
Someone said Travis Hunter has taken all of the NIL money that he's gotten this year and has put it back into the collective and is single-handedly paying to 10 to 12 guys. for to be at Colorado.
So I think that's the Colorado Collective NIL stuff. I think his Adidas money
is... Adidas money is his money.
Yes. But like,
anything he gets from the Colorado Collective, he's putting back into the collective that they're then using for like 8 to 12 guys, which is...
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
good,
awesome.
Good guy.
Good for him.
Heisman winner. Not a great girlfriend.
It's young love. It's young love, Joe.
Mistaken love. All right, that'll do it for us. I don't know who's doing the show with us tomorrow. Maybe it's just Sean and I. Maybe it's Sean Paul and I. Maybe it's just Sean. No, that won't be the case.
Or maybe it's Sean Paul and you.
Yeah, maybe it's all, yeah. Who knows?
The rapper Sean
Paul.
All
right, that will do it for all of us. The Killer Bees with but Jeremy couldn't get back to Houston yet, so it's Jeremy and no Joel and Barry. That's next. Bye.
ESPN 97.5.